아래 당시 이제 방학 당할 때 샘날이야 주위에다 냠낸지 아직 가르스 당시 마 돌고에 매버서 와야 돼 가르스지 못해지지 디가르라네 다심제 탐지기도나 산조고방 토프쇼 선비 삼로디 제주샘 디 아는가 주기라 안지 야 공부도 당고 그래서 야 니가 공부 당고 해디레스 다랑지진이
Good afternoon. This morning, we started to look at the difference between the self and other cherishing minds. So when we divide our mind into varying classes, there are those that need to be eradicated and those that need to be developed. The mind that apprehends others as dear, the other cherishing mind, this is what we need to strengthen our habituation to. And the self-cherishing mind, the mind that is habituated to grasping at oneself as dear, this is what we need to eradicate. And this is an essential component in that to enable us to become enlightened for the sake of others. To generate the determination or the will to achieve supreme enlightenment, this comes about in dependence on two methods. There's one, which is the equalizing and exchanging self for others, and then there's the six cause and one effect method. We don't have the opportunity now to go through all the steps in detail. So to present them, to present just a summary of how to generate bodhicitta, the starting point is to recognize that myself and all beings on a fundamental level are exactly the same in wanting happiness, wanting freedom from suffering. There is no difference between us at this fundamental level, and therefore there is no basis to differentiate between beings in terms of who is more worthy of happiness or freedom from suffering. We are all the same at this fundamental level. Reflecting on this well, deeply, leads to the generation of love, which is defined as the sincere wish, may all beings experience only happiness, as well as the generation of compassion, which is defined as the sincere wish, may all beings be freed from suffering.
Simjan Dunga, Dana, Simbe, Samukum, Simjan Dunga, Dana, Simbe, Samukum, Daddy, D. Gomba, Gomde, Kansam Chilia, Anti, Samu, Nishuk, Chedo, and a Karik, Manzola, Samuna, Karligos, and the Simjan Dunga, Jaya, Dana, Simjan Dijida, Druya, Digi, Druya, Dang,
And this, through starting to reflect on the equality between beings in desiring freedom from pain and suffering and wanting to abide in lasting happiness, we then, as we develop love and compassion for them, the wish starts with, may they abide in lasting happiness, may they be free from suffering. And we develop this further to, I shall do all that I can to ensure that beings eliminate the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering and cultivate the causes that lead to lasting happiness. So here, we, through the habituation of this way of thinking, we develop the sense of responsibility for the welfare, for the happiness of others. Reflection then starts with recognizing that we are all the same. And then one develops this wish further, thinking, may all beings have happiness. May all beings be freed of suffering. Further still, I shall ensure that they attain freedom from suffering and abide in lasting happiness. And whilst one is going through this process, at this point it is still a mere aspiration. But to take it beyond a mere aspiration to being a determination where one actually does something, one will think to oneself, how can I actually help others? How can I help them achieve a state of lasting happiness? And there one will come to recognize that oneself needs to develop extraordinary qualities so as to be able to help all beings precisely in accordance with their own unique personalities, their own unique karmic imprints, and engage with others in ways that don't lead to any harm, that don't bring them any difficulties at all. To have those good qualities and that required wisdom, one has to become a Buddha, because it's only a Buddha who has perfected all good qualities and completely eradicated all faults, and therefore can engage with others perfectly in accordance with their own unique karmic backgrounds and individual spiritual dispositions. So here, one generates the determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And that is the definition of bodhicitta.
ᱟᱨ ᱫᱤᱱᱮ ᱡᱟᱫᱟ ᱜᱟᱱᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱤ ᱜᱩᱞᱟ ᱯᱮᱱᱮ ᱡᱟᱵᱟ ᱫᱤᱱᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱤ ᱞᱟ ᱭᱚᱨᱮ ᱛᱟᱵᱤ ᱜᱮ ᱥᱟᱵᱚᱱ ᱫᱤᱱᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱤ ᱞᱟ ᱭᱚᱨᱮ ᱪᱮᱣᱟ ᱫᱤᱭᱟ ᱭᱚᱨ ᱯᱮᱱᱮ ᱜᱟᱱᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱤ ᱞᱟ ᱡᱤᱠ ᱥᱮᱢᱡᱮᱱ ᱛᱟᱢᱡᱮ ᱥᱟᱢᱢᱟᱛᱟᱱᱟ ᱜᱟᱱᱟ ᱡᱩᱞᱤᱭᱟ ᱡᱤᱠ ᱨᱟᱝᱜᱤ ᱯᱩᱧᱡᱟ ᱫᱟ ᱨᱟᱝᱜᱤ ᱯᱩᱜᱩ ᱫᱟ ᱨᱟᱝᱜᱤ ᱯᱷᱟᱢᱟ ᱫᱟ ᱨᱟᱝᱜᱤ ᱧᱤᱱ ᱫᱤᱜᱤ ᱞᱟ ᱪᱮᱭᱟᱠᱚ ᱪᱩᱱᱟ ᱥᱮᱢᱵᱤ ᱜᱮ ᱫᱤᱜᱤ ᱪᱩᱱᱟ ᱥᱮᱢᱵᱮ ᱥᱟᱢᱞᱚ ᱭᱚᱨ ᱵᱟᱫᱟ ᱜᱟᱱᱟ ᱪᱮᱥᱟᱫᱟ ᱮᱱ ᱫᱤᱞᱮ ᱪᱷᱮᱨᱫᱟᱱᱮ ᱚᱱᱡᱩ ᱪᱤᱜᱮ ᱜᱟᱱᱟ ᱡᱩ ᱠᱮᱦᱟᱯ ᱢᱤᱛᱤᱜᱮ ᱪᱷᱟᱥᱟ ᱭᱟᱠᱚ ᱭᱚᱱᱟ ᱥᱢ ᱫᱤᱱᱤ ᱪᱮ ᱡᱟᱝᱜᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱮ ᱛᱟᱵᱤ ᱜᱮ ᱡᱟᱢᱵᱟ ᱡᱮ ᱡᱟᱢᱡᱤ ᱜᱮ ᱪᱮᱜᱮ ᱱᱤᱵᱟᱹ ᱪᱟᱣᱟᱫ ᱪᱩᱱᱡᱩ ᱫᱤᱭᱮ ᱡᱮᱨᱮ ᱫᱟᱡᱤ ᱱᱤ ᱫᱤᱭᱟ ᱪᱤᱜᱮ ᱱᱤᱵᱟᱹ ᱪᱷᱮᱨᱫᱟᱱ ᱭᱟᱨᱮ ᱡᱟ ᱪᱷᱮᱨᱫᱟᱱ ᱭᱟᱨᱮ ᱠᱷᱟᱨᱥᱱ ᱛᱟᱝᱜᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱮ ᱯᱷᱟᱢᱟ ᱫᱟ ᱯᱩᱧᱭᱟ ᱫᱟ ᱥᱚᱥᱤᱜ ᱯᱩᱜᱞᱤᱭᱟ ᱪᱤ ᱡᱟᱣᱟᱫ ᱛᱮᱱᱟ ᱥᱮᱢᱵᱮ ᱪᱮᱣᱟᱫ ᱭᱚ ᱵᱟᱡᱤ ᱫᱤ ᱪᱮᱣᱟᱫ ᱫᱟᱡᱤ ᱠᱟᱨᱥᱢ ᱜᱚᱨᱥᱮ ᱜᱟᱱᱟ ᱡᱩᱜᱮ ᱢᱤ ᱭᱩ ᱫᱤ ᱯᱷᱟᱢᱟ ᱫᱟ punya da nyen di di gil ma to shandal sam dang go ma chi da di mik ba di pha cha ta je ko 지금 눈물로 차다래
All of us, we have on our own continuums the seeds of love and the seeds of compassion. And we can say this with certainty because both love and compassion arise within us. The thought arises, may this person, for example, experience only happiness. May they be freed of suffering. The limitation comes, though, in terms of to whom our love and compassion arises. It tends to arise most readily and most forcefully with those with whom we identify with most closely, that we feel a stronger affinity with, most obviously our own family, our loved ones, but also with a larger community or group that we identify with, such as our nation. So here, much more readily, those seeds ripen and we generate the wish, may these people I care for be freed of pain and difficulty. May they experience only happiness. And this is the expression of compassion and love. What we need to do then is expand the object to which we express our love and compassion, or in relation to our love and compassion arises. We need to free ourselves of these self-imposed limitations, restricting our love and compassion to just those that right now, at this time, in this life, we feel an affinity for. And we also then need to deepen our understanding of what love and compassion means, what it means to have the seeds for happiness and be freed of the seeds for suffering. So we need to expand this object, or the object to whom our love and compassion arises, and develop that strength of love and compassion beyond our current limitations, so that it encompasses all beings, and that the expression of love and compassion is for a state of happiness that is completely freed from suffering, a state of happiness that is lasting, not merely temporary. The method then to generate bodhicitta ourselves within our own continuum is to meditate on love and compassion. But for us to generate love and compassion to be of sufficient strength to give rise to actual bodhicitta, we have to rely on reasoning. The mere expression, no matter how heartfelt, may beings be happy, may beings be free of suffering, on its own will be insufficient to generate love and compassion of required strength. So we need to utilize reasons. And firstly then, we utilize the two reasons I've already presented. The first being that there is no difference between myself and others. All the differences that we observe in terms of personality and physique are superficial. At the fundamental level, we are all the same. We desire happiness, freedom from pain and misery. So there is no basis to differentiate between myself and others. And in terms of who is more worthy for happiness and suffering, and freedom from suffering, there is no basis for differentiation. We are all the same in this regard. The second reason to utilize is to recognize that we all have on our continuum the seeds for love and compassion. So therefore, becoming a bodhisattva is not something that is beyond any of us. All of us, through training our mind, can strengthen our love, strengthen our compassion in this very life. This we can do. As we have the seeds, by watering them, nourishing them, they will grow. Through utilizing these two and other reasons, we engage in the preparation to generate actual bodhicitta, become bodhisattvas. And to the extent that we cultivate these causes, we are creating causes to ensure not only good rebirths in our future lives with excellent conditions, but that the attainment of enlightenment comes ever closer. We all then have these seeds of love and compassion on our continuum. The way they are expressed is usually at those we feel a stronger affinity with. They're also expressed, though, in terms of ourselves, in that I want happiness. In this way, we're expressing love primarily for ourselves. I want to be freed of suffering. Express compassion to ourselves. So this we need to transform. And what we need to transform there is our own self-obsession, this placing our own happiness and wish to avoid pain and misery first and foremost. And we do so through recognizing the faults of cherishing ourselves first and foremost, or grasping at ourselves as dear. And the way to eradicate the self-cherishing mind, the grasping at oneself as dear, is to cultivate love and compassion. So love and compassion is focused on all beings. And to the extent we cultivate love and compassion for all beings, our self-obsession weakens. Our mind becomes far broader and more expansive, not obsessed with the here and the now and the immediate and myself. But our focus becomes far more long-term and far broader. So as we develop this wish, may all beings have happiness. May all beings be freed from suffering. And I will bring this about. We're shifting the focus away from ourselves, making this far broader to encompass each and every being. And as this becomes more ever deeper set within us, more sincere and genuine, then as we encounter hardships in our spiritual journey, our strength of mind will ensure that we are not overcome by hardships, but rather, with some joy, we'll transform them, and persevere, because we see the great benefits of our goal. To make it very clear then, the cultivation of love and compassion is indispensable because it is the cause that leads to the eradication of grasping at oneself as dear. Moreover, love and compassion is the cause to generate actual bodhicitta and become a bodhisattva. And therefore, thirdly, love and compassion is also the cause for enlightenment itself. Yesterday we looked at the first spiritual instruction from Gyalwa Gendun Gyatso, which is that of ethical restraint, where we restrain the mind from coming under the influence of the affliction so as not to harm others in any way. This is our basis. Now, as was said yesterday, this is the basis or the foundation for all good qualities. And with such a foundation, love and compassion can readily be generated. Because there's a close relationship of mutual dependency between an ethical mind and a loving mind, and a relationship of mutual dependency between an ethical mind and a compassionate mind. And to the extent that love arises within us, the wish may all beings be free from suffering. To the extent that love arises within us, the wish that may all beings experience only happiness, how could we ever bring them harm? So in this way, our love aids our ethical restraint. And equally, our ethical restraint enabled us to generate love. And so too with compassion, the wish may all sentient beings be freed of pain and misery. To the extent we are compassionate, how could we be unethical and harm others? Similarly, being ethical and the determination not to harm others is the ideal foundation to generate compassion. So therefore, these three meditations are entwined. They are mutually dependent. Ethical restraint, love, compassion.
Delia, Mabus Bang, Uri, said the Chisna, Tabachim Biganjuge, Ted, Samjat Sanjuko want to be Childo, Yamne Chevala, Ranjis, Sang Bang Uris. Chisna Dangan, Jesse Chivala Chimbuke, Juju Nalaya, Karasung Warsen. Dunga dördüyü semiyorken Dunga ni dunga bak yoksuz. Çık rang deva deva diyor kasa deva diyorken hani timu bir rangi deva çatırcam sesi disin göre.
This self-cherishing mind, this we have to abandon in order to attain bodhicitta, to become a bodhisattva. Moreover, we need to eradicate it so as to attain enlightenment. The great master Shantideva, in his text, The Bodhisattva's Way of Life, covered the generation of the other cherishing mind extensively. So, to quote one verse, though beings long to be rid of suffering, they run directly towards suffering itself. Their longing for happiness in their confused ignorance, they destroy their own happiness as if it were an enemy. Looking at the first two lines, though beings long to be rid of suffering, they run directly towards suffering itself. Here, we all are the same in longing, in yearning to be for freedom from suffering. But our attempts to gain freedom from suffering are so deeply flawed that we keep accumulating further causes for suffering. So despite wanting freedom, freedom from pain, freedom from misery, because our method, our technique is deeply flawed, we end up accumulating ever more causes that will lead to more suffering.
Then the business is shuvena, Tangaralia, Ganga Sege Tondalia, Soso Ganga, the Ganga, the Mevasuege Tondala, and then Arazuke, Chiki, Karachimi, Karchevene, Chikuma Shuvene, Kumichala, Kumaku, Karachin Kugors, Koran Digitria, the Korangi, Duma Sege Tondalia, and Kuma Kugor. Chesade, Duma Sege, the Koran Digitria, Tablum, the Duma Sege, Meva, Duma, Meva, Meva Suege Tondala, and Ku Leka Karcheva, Meva Suege, Tablum Karcheverson, Shandagi, Chala, Kuma Kumarua. Chesanda Kuma Kua Dela Tene, Nakaptestic Digida, Duma Sege, Yungurte, Digi Jebu Carriersen, Tene Kuma Kua Dela Tene, Se Delinea. And then
Despite having this motivation with behind all our actions to attain, to abide in happiness and attain freedom from suffering, due to our mistaken understanding of the causes that lead to happiness, we end up creating further causes for suffering. To give an illustration that's easy to understand, wanting happiness, someone is motivated in their physical behavior, verbal behavior, and their way of thinking. But with a mistaken method, they will steal from others, take what's not theirs. So yeah, they are stealing, wanting happiness. But if they're caught and they're imprisoned and they suffer from social shame and confinement. Happiness is not achieved, not even in this life. And of course, they create causes for suffering in future lives. So this is an illustration that's easy to understand. But this is behind what we do. Striving for happiness. We engage in methods that lead to the accumulation of causes for further suffering. The motivation behind all our activities is this wish for happiness for ourselves. And motivated by this wish for happiness, but not understanding what the causes for happiness are, we end up lying to others, taking advantage of others, abusing others physically or verbally. And we do so wanting our own benefit. And sometimes with a more expansive mind, wanting the benefit for my group, my family, my community, my nation. And putting ourselves and those that we identify with for now as my group, first and foremost, valuing our happiness over that of others. We engage in stealing from others, lying to others, talking badly about others, taking advantage of others. Or those with sufficient power, declaring war on others. So here we see that despite wanting happiness, despite wanting freedom from suffering, because of our delusion, we keep engaging in activities that create causes for ever more suffering. And to read the verse again, which is from the end of the first chapter of the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. Though beings long to be rid of suffering, they run directly towards suffering itself. Though longing for happiness, in their confused ignorance, they destroy their own happiness as if it were an enemy. So the first two lines and the second two lines have the same meaning, coming at it from a different perspective. So in your reflection, reflect at how beings, in their ignorance, engage in cultivating the causes for further suffering, despite wanting to be rid of suffering. And they destroy their own potential for happiness, despite wanting happiness, because they are ignorant about the causes for happiness. So when you reflect on this, the meaning is the same, or the first and the second half, but you can come at it from two different perspectives.
And then,
When reflecting on this topic deeply, it's quite possible for the thought to come, if I put the needs of others first and foremost, I'm going to experience difficulties, and I want to be free of pain and suffering. I do hope others experience happiness and are free from suffering, but I also want to be freed of suffering. I don't want to add to my own burden of suffering. So therefore, surely, I can't give up on myself. I have to continue to grasp at myself as dear, because I don't want to suffer. If I'm being sincere and genuine with myself, whilst I do have the wish for others to be freed of pain, I don't want to suffer. And therefore, if I give up on grasping at myself as dear, my problems may end up getting far worse, and I do not want that. Such a misunderstanding may readily arise, and that is okay when it comes from reflecting well. But then continue your meditation, go deeper. Come to recognize that the self-cherishing mind, grasping oneself as dear, is the cause of all our suffering. Whereas the other cherishing mind, grasping others or apprehending others as dear, this is the source of all freedom. And why so? To the extent that our entire continuum is moistened by love and compassion, we are not going to suffer. To the extent that love for others and compassion arises, our mind will be broad and expansive. To the extent that our love and compassion pervade our continuum, all life's trials and difficulties and all our unfulfilled wishes and problems will be seen in their truer perspective. That's really unimportant, because what we are holding as dear, as important, is the welfare of others. So such a broad and expansive mind is not harmed by life's difficulties, because something of greater value is seen as at the forefront, is held at the forefront of one's mind. And in this way, one's mind is powerful and strong, as well as gentle and open. In this way, life's problems do not harm one, and one is always able to have energy and strength to give to others.
rang di ji du ya da dung a se ge dun da la ma lo jiao ya wo xie wu du xie yao wo jiang wu du ji jiang le ne ma di ji jie ma mao ba de di ji du ya dung a se tu le sen be sam lo ji jie ji sa da nga rang di ji yao ya da ji dung a se dun da ni ji ge chue den yao ma jie ba ne nga rang dung a yao le gan a yong gu le di yin zha chue den jie da di jie ya sa ji sa da nga rang di ji du ya da dung a se dun da la ni bian jiao ru xie ma sa ba ne ane ji sa wu du sen be sam da ji ji sa da nga ju ge da ya ga le ka re le we na da nga bie chen ru xia ne su su ge chue den jie ya da ane su su ge an ji ge tun jian tup xie ya da an su su ge xie yuan jia ya di ge gong wo di le rang rang yi di ji du ya da rang yi ga le ga le gan ga se ge duan da la gong wo di qie xie lu jiong ji go ru wa da di ne da yang gong wo ji ge li ya da de jing an zui rang qi zi xian xian qi zi sanpa qie wen na qie xian sim jia tam jie di ji zhu gu gu du xian sim jia du nga da cha gu gu du qie zang da ngay di sim jia tam jie ki di ji zhu ya du nga cha ya la nga rang la ya lop jiong ya gu 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 du qie zang ngay lop jiong ya gu xing bai na ngay xian li ya pan to qie tu gu re xian ki na ga ma se tu gu re qie zang nga rang de zhu gu de tang ro qi me bai na ngay xian li ga ni sro gu qie tu gu re xian pan to ga qi ju qie zang xian li pan to qie ya da xian ki du yi di nga dunga se ya de di ji zhu bai nga rang an zhu bu di chue den ya gu 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 du an di nza su su जिक बेंचर छ मेने शालो र वका ने छितु गुरे जेसा देने जांगे शेन सिमजेन थामजे ले पेंबर दुया दे शेन यु दुंग सिया शेन यु दिगी दुया दंदा ले मेदिस छने एंड जिक बेंचर थप ताया दे जिक इन सबे सम न ताता उ दिनी की थोने कुंगो दे ले जिक दे रंग छि जिंग थोने दि छि गोरे जिक दे शेन छि थोने जिक गोरे दंदा मी यु दुया दे ला रंग छे दे दा रंग यु थिन जिन दुया ने शेन जाया छसा निगे लि गोरे दि दिनी दे
就在先接近三段呢，然后呢，确定没办法，变就没用呀。当六种没用呀，要嘛的，就算让接近三段的用户把它免得将来把电视要嘛的。We all know that to live a healthy life. We need to live a happy life. We need to be physically in as good health as we can be, and we need comfortable material conditions. So in order to bring this about, one engages in various activities. So looking at that situation, but from two different perspectives. The first is the ordinary perspective, where one is concerned about one's welfare, and the second is what we aspire to, concerned about the welfare of others. The activity will remain the same. So knowing that to lead a happy life, we need to be healthy, we will go to the gym, we will work out, and we'll find it a little bit difficult, but we'll persevere, because we know we need to be in good shape so as to live as healthy a life as possible, and therefore be happy. And we persevere through those hardships so that we can be healthy. Likewise, we also need to have a certain level of material comfort and security. So therefore we go to work, we attain an education and we go to work, and we persevere through the various hardships that are associated with our employment. Someone else engages in those same activities with wishing a very similar outcome. They want to have a healthy body, and they want to have financial security. So they're engaging in the same activities, wanting that same goal, but they are doing it with a motivation not focused on themselves, but on others. Such a person will persevere through the same hardships, they'll encounter the same difficulties, such as perhaps if it's a personal coach being over-enthusiastic, or work colleagues and a boss who perhaps aren't always so wonderful, but their approach to those difficulties will be so different, because they will see those difficulties in a very different perspective. They will hold first and foremost that by me being healthy and financially secure, I can be of great benefit to others in this life. So the hardships I'm experiencing in my physical training and my place of work, these aren't important compared to the great goal that I've set for myself and the impact I can be on others. So such a person will not experience the hardships related to good health and to employment in the same way. They will hardly be perceived as hardships at all. They will have nothing to complain about after time at the gym or a day at work, because those hardships are not hardships. These are just seen as small but necessary steps to achieve a goal of great importance. In that illustration, all that differs between the two people is their motivation. They're both equally engaging in activities for health, to expand their education, and to achieve financial security. And they achieve a similar result of health, education, and financial security. So there's no difference in terms of the activity or the fulfillment of that aspiration. What differs vastly is their motivation. Continuing with this illustration, the ordinary person, the person under the influence, under the control of the self-cherishing mind, grasping themselves as dear, they, in order to achieve their goals of good health and financial security, it will not bother them if they bring harm to others, if they lie to others or deceive others or take advantage of others. It will not bother them if the environment is harmed in their pursuit of financial security, because what is paramount is their happiness. And the impact on others, they may either disregard entirely, or consider the happiness of others, the impact on others, to have some value, some importance, but compared to the fulfillment of their own desires, they are not important, and therefore will readily take advantage of others, deceive others, pollute the environment. They may at times act honestly, honorably, but that will not be consistent. What will be consistent is the fulfillment of their narrow self-interest. And the other person who has abandoned such a way of thinking, who's under the influence of the mind that apprehends others as dear, for them, they will strive to be healthy and financially secure, recognizing its importance, but they will not do so at the expense of others. They will not do so through harming others or taking advantage of others or harming our environment, because they value first and foremost the welfare of others. There is a need for them themselves to be healthy and financially secure, but not at the expense of others. So again here, we see that the activity and the result of health and financial security, that's not where the difference lies. The difference comes from the motivation and how those goals are thereby achieved.
当然这个也就给短短宁波了当然就来开始然后就给亚杰当过来三路的开始当然就来亚美巴水和三路开始然后其实三路的所属几部短短三路的马美巴水过来穷当过来美巴水过来但是美巴水肯定是过来是呢你讲巴当先里亚讲巴的在我空过来先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先先 Kurdu kawas, the Niji, some of the Udu, some Gomche, Yashu, Chiratan, Dinni, Chelda, Simjan, Tamjan, Sanyo, Toku, Sanyo, Tomangi, Pandu, Jachimuji, Tusa, Dinsada, Simjan, Tamjan, Sanyo, Toku, Sanyo, Tomangi, Pandu, Jachimuji, Tusa, Dinsada, Simjan, Tamjan, Sanyo, Toku, Sanyo, Tomangi, Pandu, Jachimuji, Tusa, Dinsada, Simjan, Tamjan, Sanyo, Toku, Sanyo, Tomangi, Pandu, Jachimuji, Tusa, Dinsada, Simjan, Tamjan, Sanyo, Toku, Sanyo, Tomangi, Pandu, Jachimuji, Tusa, Dinsada, Simjan, Tamjan, Sanyo, Toku, Sanyo, Tomangi, Pandu, Jachimuji, Tusa, ये
recognizing the grave harm that the grasping at oneself as dear brings gives rise to the wish and later determination to eradicate the self-cherishing mind. And the technique for doing so, as I mentioned earlier, is to cultivate love and compassion. Because love and compassion has as its focal object all sentient beings. Having recognized the quality of all beings in their desire for and be worthy of lasting happiness and freedom from suffering, we generate the wish, may all beings be freed of suffering, may all beings abide in happiness. We generate that wish ever stronger through relying on reasoning to come to the point where we it's not just a mere aspiration, but where we take responsibility for their welfare. It becomes no longer sufficient for us to express even a sincere and a genuine aspiration, may all beings be happy and freed of pain. But we see it as our responsibility to ensure that they achieve that state for themselves. And thereafter, taking responsibility for the welfare of others, we generate bodhicitta, which is the determination to become a Buddha so as to fulfill this responsibility. Our determination to become the most skilled of guides, a Buddha, so that we can fulfill our responsibility and skillfully guide others to cultivate the causes for happiness and eradicate the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. In this way, we generate bodhicitta, become bodhisattvas, and attain the paths of the Mahayana. Such are beings, bodhisattva, in that life, they achieve incredible happiness. both physical and mental happiness in that they are not perturbed by problems. And through the power of these causes, they can be sure of happiness throughout their future lives. So this is how all bodhisattvas train, and we too should as well, knowing that we have the seeds for love and compassion on our continuum, and in direct proportion to the energy that we place in our mental training, on our mental development, we will become bodhisattvas too. Reflecting this way, generating the determination to become a Buddha for others, will also lead us to reflect on what is it that keeps all beings trapped in the realms of samsara, ensuring that suffering experience follows suffering experience. We'll come to recognize that it's our own consciousness of ignorance, in particular the ignorance of self-grasping or the ignorance of true grasping. This is the root cause of all our pain, all our misery. And it's true grasping that must be abandoned, because if one eradicates the root, the sprout cannot arise. Freedom is attained. So how to do so? That comes in the next verse.
The seventh verse.
Because all phenomena arise dependently, ascertain the meaning of being naturally empty. Whatever object arises as an appearance to consciousness, experience it as being like an illusion. In the first line, because all phenomena arise dependently. All phenomena, without exception, arise dependently, or dependent arisings. Phenomena can be divided in many different ways. Most common division is into permanent and impermanent phenomena. Permanent phenomena are those which do not change momentarily. They also arise dependent. They have an interdependent relationship with other. And most obviously is the case with the other division of phenomena, impermanent phenomena, or phenomena that do change momentarily. These, without exception, arise in dependence on causes. So all phenomena, without exception, whether permanent or impermanent, arise dependently.
That's not true.
As I mentioned in the previous talk, that what, in answer to the question, what is the philosophical view of Buddhism? It is dependent arising. It is exactly as this line, first line says, all phenomena arise dependently, without exception. To start with, a very coarse presentation that's easy to understand is that all sprouts require a seed. Or to put it another way, all results require a cause. But not only does a sprout require a seed, but for that seed to sprout, it requires suitable, appropriate conditions. In the case of a seed, it requires suitable soil, heat, and moisture. Then it can ripen. Then the result will come from the cause. And as this first line says, everything that exists is dependent. For ourselves, for human beings, it's very clear. Humans are born, or we were born, independent on a variety of causes, our parents and other causes. Not only for birth were causes required, but also for us to be able to continue to grow and develop. Many other causes needed to come together. We needed to be cared for by our parents, fed and clothed and so forth. And to become who we are now, so many other causes were required, such as education and so forth. So in brief, everything is dependent. There is nothing that is independent.
rangi lüde kanis tukua dede simchu. Tichi de da rangi semde pa, rangi semde kanis ki gore, du shidu. Zedan kyudan jen shen, de dene gomba de, de jinyin sheba naji, janshu sem chamba, ninja gomba, dene gomba le, dene, anega ji, sem, janshu semde ki ya ya zhoya da, nubay gomba, jik, dene tukua le, sechi, du shidu sum gore ba.
The type of presentation of dependence arising that I've just given, this is widely accepted throughout society. Scientists too show it on a subtler level, and it is widely known and understood that, for example, all the phenomena around us that we observe, all the technology in our world, both our current modern technology as well as the ancient technology, it all came about in dependence on causes. And there are the obvious manifest causes, as well as subtler causes. And this is widely accepted in society. And it's not just what we can visually observe, but everything that comes through our senses, such as flavor and sound, comes about in dependence on causes. And therefore, one can recognize that they are dependent arisings. And both, again, on the course, obvious manifest level, as well as slightly subtler levels, this is understood. And this is also the case with our minds, in that what appears as objects of thought, such as memories, comes about in dependence on causes. So too, does our particular personality traits, these have come about in dependence on causes, because due to being habituated or particularly familiar with a way of thinking, those class of minds are very, very easily arise. And just like I mentioned many times thus far, by meditating and becoming habituated to, for example, love or compassion or ethics, one creates ever more causes that result in our habituation to that way of thinking. So that way of thinking readily arises. So too there, for not just without a phenomena, but in a phenomena, these come about in dependence on causes.
This is what I'm going to do with my brother. I'm going to go to the church and go to the church. I'm going to go to the church and go to the church. どうしてね、サムカルカルっていうのに関心を持つ、関心っていうのに、ギュガネスっていうのに、どうしてね、こう、点々で、なんしゃ、チチリっていうのに、どこで関心っていうのに、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、点々で、 시대 코너제디 랑기 삼로데 네디디 제고 디 제고스네 디 던다 마두바제 디 던다 마두덴 디 코라샤세 제자디 가르선 나이 나세 랑치제 삼로 디디 제자디 다봉 랑치제 삼로 지키도 와스 디기 미유디 되바디 마두데 디 코라 와스 제자 코르세디 디지 갈라스네 디 코라디 랑치 랑기 되바디 마튼바 텔라테네 코라샤 랑기 되바데 가르레스나 랑치제 삼데네 레샤스 두신의 삼다제 디즈나도 되스 라과를 하고 두고와 근데 삼다다 랑치제 삼데 간슬리기 요래 사지 야치데도 되는 거 야자와 자와네 이거래
The presentation of dependent arising is of crucial importance in Buddhism. But its importance doesn't lie in understanding the external material world. Its importance is to do with understanding our own minds and thereby being able to transform our way of thinking. So to take an illustration of anger, not when one's mind is overwhelmed by anger, but when one's mind is calm and at ease, then recall a situation where anger arose and think, why did it arise? And one will most probably immediately think of the external conditions, what someone did or what someone said. Put those aside and look at your inner process. What led to the arisal of anger? What was going on within oneself? And one will come to then recognize that at the root, was the grasping at the self as dear, the self-cherishing mind. This was at the root. The second line, or let's read the first two together. Because all phenomena arise dependently, ascertain the meaning of being naturally empty. So this is bringing together the harmony between dependence arising and emptiness. We're through reflecting on how all phenomena arise dependently, one recognizes that they cannot exist by way of their own nature or essence. They have to rather be empty of their own nature, or be naturally empty. So in this way, we bring the two together. Through reflecting on dependence arising, we recognize that phenomena, all phenomena, arise dependently, and therefore they cannot exist by way of their own nature or inherent existence or essence, but are rather empty of being inherently existent, empty of being naturally empty. Just first, the translator to say, what is translated here as naturally empty is, you'll be more familiar with, as being empty of inherent existence. So in the verse, it's just presented in a more condensed way. So naturally empty means empty of inherent existence. So now to come to Geshe's commentary. What does naturally empty or empty of inherent existence mean? So this term empty, it implies a negation, that something is absent. And what is absent? It's a natural existence or inherent existence or something existing by way of its own essence. That essence or nature is what is missing, is absent. And one comes to understand that if phenomena, through the presentation of dependence arising, one comes to understand that as phenomena arise dependently, they cannot exist by way of their own nature or naturally, or way of their own essence, because they arise dependently. So in this way, the two, dependence arising and emptiness, are seen as complementary. The term then of inherent existence, it's crucial to understand its meaning. Because just like, for example, if one is going to meet someone, travel somewhere to meet someone, if you don't know this person, who they is, how can one say, I'm going to meet them? One will have no idea who one is looking for. So similarly, one has to identify inherent existence in order to know its absence. So what is the meaning then of inherent existence? What would it mean if something were inherently existent? So first, there's some synonyms here. Something to be naturally existent, inherently existent, existing by way of its own essence or characteristics. These are all synonyms. And if something were to exist in that way, what would it mean? It would mean that it's independent. It would mean it's not dependent. So for example, if something is independent, it would be not dependent, and therefore not depending on causes, because it is not dependent. So if, for example, a flower were independent, it would be not dependent on, for example, causes. It would not require causes to come into existence. No such flower exists. A person too, if it were independent, remembering independent now, it's the meaning of inherent existence, existing by way of its own essence or characteristics. If a person were independent, it would be, the person would not be dependent, and therefore not dependent on causes. No such person exists. Then what does emptiness of inherent existence mean? It means the lack of, the emptiness, or the lack of inherent existence. So the lack of, this term inherent is the same as we have here, natural, or nature. So lacking its own inherent nature is being empty of inherent nature or inherent existence.
And then, do you see that the Shashana Jugudu, Sada Dijin Niki, Tixi, Dada, Sid, Tishuashi, Sida, Dada Shayni, Donda Be, Yachimbore, in that Sik Dudishima, Donda Be, Sabota, Yachimboda, and to be Tampa Chimbuki, Chigi, Ningbo Yaman Chegi, Ningbo Dingy Dina Sungorada.
Our time together in the session is impermanent. It's almost at an end. So we'll leave it here for today with this food for thought. But in these two verses, the 6th and 7th, the meaning is extensive, it's vast, and can be spoken on and meditated on for hours and years. But what is presented in the 6th and 7th verse is the essence of the Mahayana Dharma.
当然，这个敌人跟俺这个搞得这么大，这个，当然就老林俺这个没有什么大的，但讲究些，讲白的，人家讲究什么的功夫的，你讲白那让些人家什么的没有，所以讲的让些也没把掐住过的，是啊。但加上俺这个的，这个，这讲这些的，俺这俺这这个村民送伢的。 디고셰 다던다니 보다 가산다 기능아도 디셰바 디게 나보 가르챠고르세데다 아 지금 다두스셰시네 디고레 다 지금 아 저기 담보 안 지게 다디딩아도 샘제 탐제 디아와데 데나 샘비게 섬로치 땅 네 대화된 바스 샘디 데네 샘젠 좀 동안다 자고고도 샘비 동안다 자나 샘비 섬로치다 온도스네 섬단 세위젤이야 안디니버 숨바딜이야 다 심지어 이제 대화도 덴바도 동화도 라와도 이 지긴 삼비게 내 삼로치 했다. 내내 지낸 디제 디던다라 디제라 디인상의 심지어 탐지기도 나 상요고바 토고쇼 삼비게 삼도 지내 안도 지내 아주 꼼 직꼼 라잡 안 디제라 안이 가서 오스네 다 심지어 탐지기도 나 상요고바 토고자 땅이 가르쳐도 류나 유스미고네 안에 지게 시안에 뇌비 자와사 자와기는 지금에 에세비 추림 소야다. 내내는 다 Semjan Tamji, Dungatada, Kyobi, Nubat Suyors, Kemu Conjusum, Kemu Conjus, Kyogri, Sembiki, Kemu Conjusum, Yichia, Kemu Chia. Tine Zadangi, Semjan Kiwi, Le, said Kawasadi, Chunjun Kanishinangi, Sagins, Kawas, Kiddi, Kawatugi, Sebi. Tiba said Chunjun Karinangi, Pamela Suyagi, Jim Majia, Tapshichi, Sebi, Dusin, Samtai, Kasanki, Dirin Shadio, that wants some time Dishagore.
To summarize what we've looked at thus far then, the text has presented the teachings in the sequence that they are meditated on. And a skilled meditator will be skilled through having meditated in this sequence. And the skilled meditator will also meditate in the same session on the forward sequence and the reverse sequence. So looking at it in the reverse sequence then, at the meditation in the reverse sequence, we reflect on love and compassion, knowing that this is the unmistakable method to eradicate the root cause of all suffering, the grasping at the self as dear. And love and compassion are the essential prerequisites to generate bodhicitta and become a bodhisattva. And these, which have, as was mentioned, their basis of ethical restraint, and that there is a relationship of mutual dependency between ethics and love and compassion. So the meditation starts with reflecting on how all beings are the same. Ignoring superficial differences and focus on how we all want happiness and be freed from suffering. And this is the motivating impulse behind all our thoughts and activities. Recognizing this equality between beings, we generate the thought, may all beings have happiness. And the second, may all beings be freed from suffering. Then we develop this further. I will do all that I can to ensure that beings abide in happiness and accumulate only the causes that will lead to happiness. And moreover, I will do all that I can to ensure that beings attain freedom from suffering and eradicate the causes that would otherwise lead to suffering. This is my responsibility. And meditate on that now in the third point further. In order to fulfill this responsibility, I must become a Buddha, the most skilled of guides. So the first point of the meditation was reflecting on the quality of beings, wanting happiness and freedom of suffering, and may they achieve that. The second, I will do so, it's my responsibility. The third, I will become a Buddha for their sake. So here we have generated bodhicitta, the determination to become a Buddha, the most skilled of guides, so that we can be of supreme benefit to others. Then, the fourth step of the meditation. In order to benefit others, I will ensure I do not harm others. I will ensure my mind is never influenced by the afflictions and is freed from the afflictions. So this is ethics. Then that's the fourth step. The fifth step. Who has the capacity to guide me, to train and develop my mind so that I can fulfill this aspiration of becoming a Buddha for others, so that I can fulfill this determination not to harm others, so that my ethics can be pure. So three jewels. So here, we meditate on refuge. And then the last step, I think the sixth, is in order to actualize all these preceding steps, I have to ensure that at every opportunity to accumulate virtue, I will do so. And I will avoid all negativities without exception. In other words, I'll ensure at all times, both in and out of meditation, that my mind is virtuous and freed of the afflictions. So this then is the presentation of the meditation in the reverse sequence. So thank you. Then we'll conclude here for today and continue tomorrow. Thank you.